Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, young people and friends. This morning on the platform we have our brother Shane Farron is going to give us the words of exhortation shortly on the theme he's prepared, Father's Day. And so we have another opportunity to come here to remember our Saviour and friend, the living Lord Jesus Christ, and to thank and praise our God who has called us by his grace. We have an opportunity to focus upon what's important in our life in Christ and draw strength for the coming week and to remind ourselves of whom we are and whom we serve. And so we come with thankfulness to remember all that our Lord achieved for us in his life and death for our salvation. As an introduction to our brother Shane's exhortation, reading Psalm 103. So, we look forward to the words of exhortation from our brother Shane, and his title is Father's Day.
Thank you, Shane.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome around the table of the Lord. It is incredibly amazing this morning that we've had a baptism, and on Father's Day, our Father in heaven has received a new son, and a son, a new father. Sorry, I am waiting for something to happen on the sides, but while we're waiting, that's all right. Just want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers in our community today. And also, like today, what we're going to be doing is we're not going to be putting our fathers under the spotlight. We're not going to be trying to, review and give ratings on our fathers. What we're trying to do today is look at our beautiful role model of our Father in heaven and draw some lessons from that. Fantastic. We're in business. Thank you, Daniel. I know I'm being a bit demanding on the IT this morning. And John. Thank you, John, too. Very handy to have all of you here. All right, so about Father's Day. Yes. Very good. So, I just had a look and I said, what is Father's Day all about? And what I found is that Father's Day predominantly sort of split into three different categories. So, honoring father figures. So, it's a day to recognize and show appreciation for fathers, stepfathers, grandfathers, and other men who serve as positive male role models and influences in the lives of children. And there's a celebration element. So the holiday celebrates the joys and challenges of fatherhood and the unique contributions fathers make to their families. And then lastly, a third element is about gratitude. Father's Day provides an opportunity to thank our fathers for their love, their support, and the sacrifice, and acknowledge the important parental bonds. And how is Father's Day celebrated? Obviously quite differently around the place, but many people give cards and gifts, homemade items, something personal to their father, an expression of love. Families often spend some quality time together. You might have a lunch or a meal or just spend some time together doing different activities, shared experiences. And then lastly, increasingly there's a much wider application of Father's Day to cover the multiple different diverse family structures. And so that's kind of like what I found in terms of like, this is what Father's Day is about. And there's some lovely ideas in there, isn't there? I think in the it started off originally in Europe, back many slightly religious elements, but I think more modernly it's come out of the US and it's been widely adopted around the world, especially by retailers. No surprise there. But also a lot of communities in general have really embraced the idea of celebrating Father's Day. Do want to make a qualification. Our focus this morning will be on Father's Day because it is Father's Day. Because it is Father's Day. But I also just want to highlight that's just because we're looking at Father's Day, not to ignore the incredible influence of our mothers and how they completely complete the family unit. So we'll be looking at Father's Day. If I'm speaking on Mother's Day, we'll have a look at mothers at that particular point in time. But today, we're looking at fathers for the occasion. All right, very good. Well, having qualified that, I just sort of thought to myself, and I sort of did a bit of research as well, how important is the role of a father in general? And I had a look at some different varying research, and it all conclusively came back that both biblically and practically, current day research agrees that a father's presence, character, and leadership can profoundly shape a family's spiritual, emotional, and even social well-being. And I'm just going to cover off a couple of the different aspects of research that came up. So how important is the role of a father? Well, from a non-biblical perspective, just in very generically speaking, we're having a look at confidence and security. So kids with present fathers often feel more secure and valued at age 6. Father presence, a term, is linked with improved cognitive development, stronger social competence, fewer depressive symptoms, and that was found to be true across both genders and regardless of their background. So also in terms of self-control or behavior, involved dads help child develop emotional regulation or help them to sort of understand their emotions. Children with involved dads are more confident, exploratory, and display sort of stronger peer relationships and social competence. They did a 26-year study found that the top predictor of adult empathy was regular warm time spent with their fathers during childhood. In terms of achievement, children with engaged fathers tend to do better in school. Children with actively involved fathers are about 40% more likely to earn higher grades, 45% less likely to repeat a grade, 60% less likely to be suspended or expelled compared to peers without such active involvement. In terms of relationships, a father's example influences how children view authority, how they view love, and how they view trust. And research in Australia shows that strong father and son relationships reduce the risk of intimate partner violence by roughly 50%. So having that really strong relationship can reduce domestic violence. And in relation to struggles, fatherless homes statistically and unfortunately see higher rates of poverty, crime, substance abuse, and mental health struggles. And in contrast with that, individuals who come from environments where they felt close to their fathers were twice as likely to go to college, 75% less likely to have children in their teen years, 80% less likely to be incarcerated, and 50% less likely to show signs of depression. So that's what research, contemporary research, has discovered for trends involving the important role of fathers in our lives. And I want to make another qualification here as well. I think it's important that for those that didn't have an involved father or a healthy relationship with their father, it doesn't mean that they're any less or any less worthy or any less valued or capable. The statistics we looked at this morning are looking at in general circumstances in general, and it's not meant to be in any way a stereotype, or it doesn't define you or your experiences. And I think it's important to distinguish this, because I don't want anyone to feel bad as we look at fathers this morning, because they might not have had a very traditional or typical family dynamic, and they may not be able to relate to things this morning. So for those of us that have been baptized into Christ, we're very blessed to have a very different kind of father, aren't we? We'll be looking at that later this morning. He makes himself available to, as a father, to the fatherless, and we read that in Psalm 68, verse 5, providing what may be lacking in our earthly experiences. And of course, in our community, we have a lot of father figures, which we can, which help to supplement and provide for us in our experiences of fatherly relationships. So although our own personal experiences may not have been the best with our fathers, in Jesus, we have an amazing father, and we have a lot of very amazing father influences in our lives. So, next I just wanted to say, you know, what kind of does the Bible say about fathers? And so I did a quick search using Bible Hub for those that were here last weekend, not ChatGPT, Bible Hub. And what came up was some really interesting topics, and I've sort of tried to group them into three different areas. We'll have a look at that today, right now. So the first one is talking about fathers are encouraged to lead with love, instruction, and discipline. And so in Ephesians 6 and 4, this was quoted frequently in our house as children to our father. Not that he ever got very angry, but when he did, no one wanted to be around. Ephesians 6, 4, and you fathers, do not irritate your children, but bring them up tenderly with true Christian training and advice from the Lord. And then we see Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so we see that fathers are called for lovingly guide their children in God's ways without being harsh or overbearing. Father's role is in correcting and teaching is crucial to sort of shaping the character, shaping the direction. And then we see Proverbs 3 and 11 to 12, where it says, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you, for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. So discipline is not punishment for the fun of punishment, but it's loving and patient. It's guidance, just as our spiritual father guides us and corrects us on the path to the kingdom. There's a goal in mind. It's not just I'm punishing you because I like punishing you. It's understanding that there is an end goal. So the Bible also speaks quite significantly about fathers being encouraged to be to model God's character and be spiritual leaders. And we know Matthew 6, 9 in the Lord's Prayer, we're encouraged to use our Father. God often reveals himself as a father to us or to his people Israel. And God's fatherhood is a model or can be a model for earthly fathers to be compassionate, loving, and supportive. As we read this morning, beautiful psalm. Thank you, Seb, for reading that so amazingly. But we see here the model, God's character model. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And we also see in Joshua, fathers are called to lead their homes towards God. Joshua 24 and 15, we know this probably fairly well, says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And what we see in the Bible from multiple different angles, and that's why the Bible recorded it for us, is that a father's faith can often set the tone for the whole household, either one way or the other. And then lastly, the third group that I had was influence on legacy. So we see in Proverbs 20, verse 7, it says, a godly walk with integrity, blessed are the children who follow them. So children's following their father's example. Father's integrity has a lasting effect on children, can have. And we see this in the case of Jeroboam. We know frequently Jeroboam was recorded as perpetually causing his children and their children for many generations later to lead false lives of worship. Books of Kings and Chronicles as well are littered with other examples of kings that were described as evil. Their son came to the throne and they says they were also evil and did exactly what their fathers had done, following down that destructive path and leading people away from God to suffering and pain. So a father's integrity and faith can have a lasting impact on a children's life. Why does this matter spiritually? The way children see their earthly father may influence how they perceive their spiritual father. A loving, wise dad can make it easier for children to understand why it is God does what he does for us. It's that physical visual that helps us to connect why God is correcting us and guiding us and instructing us, because we can see it from our own earthly fathers. So what I want to have a look at now is we've sort of seen, how do general people celebrate Father's Day? What is the role of a father important? Yes. What does the Bible say about fathers? Now we're going to have a look at, we're going to sort of like shift our focus to God as our Father. And this is really sort of the key part of our considerations this morning. God as our Father. This is incredible. So we have God as our Father. We have the concept of adoption. We are not physically God's children. But let's have a look at these verses. These are just amazing. So Romans 8:15, it says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children, and now we call him Abba Father." So this was planned. God planned to adopt us as his children. Have a look in Ephesians 1 and verses 4 to 5. I'll start in verse 3. "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to him through Jesus Christ. That is what he wanted to do, and it gives him great pleasure." That's powerful, isn't it? Let's have a look at our last quote here. So Galatians 4 and verse 4 to 5. "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now you are no longer slaves, but God's own children. And since you are his children, God has made you his heir." That's why in Matthew 6 and verse 9, in the Lord's Prayer, we're taught to say, "Our Father in heaven." God has adopted us into his amazing family, and he wants us to relate to him as his Father, not some distant deity, but a loving parent. God's fatherhood is not based on human flaws. It is the perfect balance for us to try and model of love, protection, and guidance. So God is our Father. What else does he do? He is a loving, providing Father physically. So in Matthew 6 and 30, it says, "And God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you." And then in Matthew 7:11, we see, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" So again, God is our Father, our adopted Father, our spiritual Father, takes care for us in so many different ways in our lives today. Spiritually thinking, we see that God has made a provision for us through his Son to allow us to have a chance at eternal salvation. So it's a very well, very familiar verse, John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, our only beloved Son, that we might have a chance at salvation." 1 John 4:14, "We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." We sung about in our first hymn today, 1 John 3:1, where it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called his children." What kind of love has he given? He's given his only Son as a provision for our eternal salvation. We also see in Psalm 55 and 25, it says, "Give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip or fall." So he looks after us in our spiritual well-being That's part of the guidance and the correction. And I think what we see from all of this is God's love is personal to us. It's tender to us. It's incredibly generous to us. Like that of any father who delights in his children and wants to look after the natural and spiritual needs. We also have the element of God's discipline as a father. Hebrews 12 and 6 to 7, we read, "The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." God is treating you as his son. And I think this is again, equally important. Discipline is a sign of love and belonging, shaping us to be like him so that one day, through his grace, we can be in his kingdom. There's an end goal. There's a reason for that shaping. And lastly, God is our Father, the Father's heart for the lost. And we're reminded of the prodigal son in Luke 15 and 20. While he was still a long way off, our Father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And God's fatherhood is marked with forgiveness and joy when his children return home from a crisis of faith. So I think what we see here is God's fatherhood shows us intimacy. It shows us that we can personally approach him with confidence. God's fatherhood provides us with an identity. We are his beloved children. We're not just servants or minions or robots. But I think also God's fatherhood provides us with that sort of sense of fulfillment, that we're being looked after. A bit of security. He provides for us. He protects us. And he loves us dearly. So lastly, I just want to have a think about what does seeing God as a father help us to do? What does it mean for us when we see God as our father? I think it gives us some security and peace of mind, doesn't it? Knowing that God is our father means we're not trying to earn his love. We already have God's love. He's told us that. And I think that's so powerful, isn't it? There's nothing worse than a child trying to earn desperately and having no chance of receiving that father's love. For us, he's given us the love that he shows us on the table before us. We also see in Romans 8, 38 and 39, nothing can separate us from our father's love. Deuteronomy 31 and 8 and Hebrews 13 and 5, it says our father goes before us. So the children of Israel, the father goes before us. He goes with us, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And we've just read in Luke 15 as well that God's house is always open. He always has a spot for us, no matter how many times we may leave. I think this knowledge, when we see God as our father, this knowledge means that we can approach God with confidence instead of fear. Like a child running to a loving parent and not running away from a fearful stranger. So seeing God as a father changes how we pray, doesn't it? It changes how we pray. Matthew 6 and 9, the Lord taught us to pray, our Father, showing that our prayers can be conversational with a loving dad. Or as the term was, Abba. And the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, it broke down that middle wall of partition, didn't it? It broke down that thing that separated us from God. It allows us to have a personal relationship with God. Having that personal relationship with God allows us to speak openly. We can share our hearts. We can care. We know he cares deeply for us. And yes, he knows everything that we need, but we can go to him and say, Father, I'm feeling anxious today. Please help. We can go to him and say, Father, you're amazing. That sunset I've just seen, and we see many in our heart at home chat, don't we? That sunset is glorious. Thank you for that. I think also seeing God as our Father, it helps to shape our identity, doesn't it? So the Jews, when they were trying to embarrass Jesus, They were sort of implying, well, we know who our father is, referring to Abraham. And they relied on the legacy of Abraham's fatherhood. That legacy of being children of Abraham, that's what provided them with their identity, their Jewish identity. And I think for us, in 1 John 3 and 1, which we've sung about this morning, behold what manner of love the Father has for us, that he calls us his children. We are deeply loved by him. Being a child of God means that our worth doesn't come from job titles. It doesn't come from social status or wealth. It doesn't come from the approval of others. Seeing God as your Father, it means that you don't need to live in insecurity or uncertainty, because your Father's love helps to define you and provide you with an identity. You're a child of God. You're no longer a slave. And that now becomes our personal identity. And then lastly, seeing God as our Father provides a model for growth. Understanding that our Father shapes and disciplines his children out of love, it helps you to understand that God is doing this for a much larger reason, predominantly because he loves us and he wants us to be with him for eternity. Challenges in life aren't signs of an abandonment, but they're opportunities for growth. We see in Hebrews 12 and 7, we read, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by the fathers? And then in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, this is kind of the flip side. God is faithful and will not let you be tried beyond your strength. But with the trial, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it. So we have a loving Father that guides us and brings us to different realizations about him, his plan, his purpose, how we fit in that. But when we're going through trials, he's also there to scoop us up and carry us forward. I think also seeing God as your Father. Children naturally depend on their fathers. Seeing God in this way, I think, encourages our humility and faith that we can trust in him to provide for us. He's given us ample evidence every day that he knows, like Matthew 6:32, your heavenly Father knows everything that you need and will provide it for you. So in short, knowing God as a Father, it transforms our faith, doesn't it, from merely about sort of adherence to a checklist of rules. We must pray 7 times facing northeast on a Tuesday and a Thursday. It takes it more than that. It transforms it into a familial relationship built on dependency, security, trust, and love. So as we conclude our thoughts this morning, I'm sure there's probably nothing new that you've not heard or thought about before, but what I wanted to do this morning is just bring it all together. What I've tried to do is, in the spirit of Father's Day, let's reflect, bring the fatherly references in the Bible, bring them together so that we can remember them, we can remind ourselves. That's what Father's Day is about, reminding ourselves of the value and the role of the Father's play in our lives. And just to sort of reflect on just how much our spiritual Father does for us as well. So, call to arms. The take-home points that I'm trying to get us to think about today is, can we make an extra effort today to honor the role of fathers, the role that God designs? We can acknowledge that role, honor that role, and the influence of those God-designed roles in our lives. Also, to celebrate the contributions that they make in our lives. Yes, flawed, 100%, but trying to do their best in the way that they can. Let us have a look at celebrating the contributions they make in our lives. Let's be open, let's be transparent. Tell our fathers how we really feel and how much they have done for us and how important they are. And show some gratitude for their love and support and their sacrifice, spending time with them, little gift verbally, just as powerful. For those without earthly father figures in their lives, can we as a community step up and come together, support them, and show them some of that love that we receive from our Father in heaven? And then lastly, this morning we come to remember the greatest gift our Father has given to us, his Son Jesus Christ, so that we can be restored in our relationship with him, with our Father, in our desire to be more like him and be part of his eternal family in his kingdom. Happy Father's Day.